Okay, once again, I'm back with chapter 6, and we'll be talking about artificial intelligence in people analytics. Now, we spoke about training and development, we spoke about employee engagement, we spoke about hiring, we spoke about HRM functions. So let's understand what people analytics is all about. And people analytics is all about dashboard, the measurements, the matrices, you know, the matrix, the analysis of what people behavior is all about and all these things. So, from an introduction perspective, has gained much importance due to the dramatic shift to remote and hybrid work environment caused by COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of people say this, that had COVID-19 not happened, would we have seen the change in HR analytics, what we see now? Well, nobody knows. I mean, it was there, it was happening. But COVID-19 actually triggered the digitization of HR analytics or the people analytics, because people had to sustain, people had to find a way to work with analytics and everything. I mean, you can't just leave the dashboard like that just because there has been a pandemic situation happening. You cannot leave the dashboard just because there is a situation where you cannot call an employee to office. I mean, logistical challenges, all these challenges, and most importantly, the proliferation of the people data. So COVID-19 may have acted as a catalyst, I can say, but it would have happened eventually, even though COVID-19 wouldn't have happened. The second thing is, people teams today have large amount of data from various systems, such as cloud HR solutions, ERP, payroll, attendance, applicant tracking system, performance management systems, LMS, HR platforms, compliance data, engagement platforms, and more. So, you know, the data is huge. What I do with the data that matters. Fundamentally, AI in data analytics is the application of AI to analyze large sets of data pattern. Now, when I say large sets of data pattern, I'm not talking about employee base of 10,000 or 5,000 or more than 10,000. Even if there is 1,000, the data sets are huge. I mean, you have to understand the matrix of it. So, I'm looking at performance management. Now, let's say 10% of my people are the best performers. Are these best performers ready for the next level? So there is a subset of data in that data only. So if I'm looking at 10% of 1,000 people, it's 100 people. 100 people, then succession planning, that's another data. So you have to use powerful machine learning algorithms to allow the data analysis to uncover trends, gain insights, behavior of consumer or other quickly and accurately of the data sets. In addition to that, AI is also increasingly able to analyze the unstructured data. Now, these are very, very analytical tools we are talking about. It's deep-rooted with natural language processing, speech analytics transcription, computer vision for image and video analytics. So it is a very deep-rooted into the behavioral psychology also. I mean, initially, we used to only have data analytics from a perspective of how is he performing, what are the thought process of performing, how the entire route is going into that performance, so on and so forth. But AI has changed completely. And because AI can process things at a faster rate, so the analytics is becoming more and more available to a lot of HODs on that side. And I spoke about 1,000 example. Think about 10,000 workforce or a 15,000 workforce. I mean, beyond 50,000 workforce is a real, real challenge for data analytics. And trust me, the MIS guys used to burn their head out to do all these things. So let's see what AI can give us in form of people analytics. Now, one thing, definitely, I mean, will not deny the fact of speed, efficiency, and productivity, the enhanced customer experience, fact-checking, the validation, the automated report, the code and the debugging errors, the explaining analysis and insights, creating synthetic data, you know, all these things. But if you ask me, for me, the biggest is automated report generation, because that what gives, because to create a report in Excel, I mean, you have to hire an Excel expert to do all these things. So that automation creates a huge application for that in data analytics. Dashboards, I mean, at the top level, only dashboards and report matters. They are not into their behavioral psychology, what they have done. It's numbers, and AI is mastering that. Talent acquisition, risk mitigation, and policy effectiveness. Now, how AI is helping to transform HRM with people analytics is they're adding predictive capabilities. Now, what is predictive capabilities? See, guys, predictive capabilities is something which talks about prediction. Based on X set of data or past data, I'm going to derive a prediction of future. So statistics is there, normal data is there. So analyzing all this data, I will create an intuition and understand from a data-driven decision that, you know, this is what is going to happen in the future. So for example, out of my 2000 workforce, 15% are top. So will that 15% increase? Will that 15% remain 15%, or will that 15% lower down to 10%? So that predictive analysis is the most, you know, capable thing that you know, AI has done to people in analytics, that is transforming HRM. Some of the ways is it's tactical, and it's a strategic assistance. Now, this is not typically part of HRM, like a human resource management kind of thing. But I'll take an example from sports, and specifically from football. In England, every club, if you have watched the sports, it is not still in cricket or any other team sport. Individually, yes, in lawn tennis or badminton or table tennis, they're using that as an individual way of assessing people. But when I say a bulk of people, and I'm talking about, let's say, 20-30 players, but that 20-30 players has been recruited by the club to play for them. Now, initially, it was completely human touch. So there was a scout being hired by a club. That scout will go to places to find players, understand their capability and competence depending upon their speed, their ball handling, whatever it is. And there are various positions. So if I try to annotate the same to a corporate level, so there are managers, there are senior managers, there are assistant managers, there are team leads, then executives, then there are vice presidents. So imagine the same, there are center backs, there are left backs and full backs. For cricket, I can talk about opening batsmen, you know, the number three, the middle order players, the lower order players, you know, fast bowlers, medium pacers, spinners, wrist spinners and finger spinners. So these are all the designative methods that is there. Now what UK or English Premier League as a campaign is doing, because I'm not very aware of German Football League or Spanish League, what they're doing into, but because English Premier League data comes pretty often, a person, I forgot the name of him, has created a people analytics software using AI. Now, what they're doing with people analytics. Now, please understand, in the current setup of performing at that level, you need speed, agility, skill, tactical understanding. It was said that Sachin Tendulkar had a cognitive brilliance when it came to bowling people out. So that means he was a thinking player. He was not a player who devised over a period of time. So he had this thinking ability and he used it. Now, if I have to find somebody at the level of Sachin Tendulkar by thinking from a corporate level that, you know what, I have the master performer, can I use AI as a people analytics tool which will give me to find more people like him, who is the top performer? So what are the top performers' behaviors? How do I create a predictive analysis of those behaviors, and can I imbibe those behaviors? Now, when you look at this, it's a data collection. So for every role, there is a job description, and for every job description, there is a set of competencies, and for every competencies, there is a KRA and KPI, right? So based on that, they'll try to find out, and I'm not too sure whether this can be done in transforming HRM and not at this current phase, but in sports, people are doing it. They're trying to find analytics that over a period of time, like for example, some of the players who are best in people analytics and people management, human resource management, is Johan Cruyff, or let's say if we talk about John Wright, and they were excellent people managers, they're able to handle. Can we use that mechanism with AI to create a people analytics tool to use it? I'm not too sure, because cricket is not typically an AI-based game as of now, but football is becoming in that way. So they have created a scouting software where they enter the data of a particular player for a particular position, and analyzing that players in that particular position, he is given some tasks. If I put that same into corporate parlance, what will happen is I'm hiring for a managerial level. I'm hiring for a managerial level, which will have a certain job description with keywords and with certain things called as the behavioral competencies and the functional competencies, which are required to perform at the job. So I might give something as an add-on exercise to do something with that data. So for example, we were recruiting a data analyst guy in one of the organizations and a part of the recruitment team. So the first thing the recruitment team asked me, and it was part of a training program, that, you know, Gabriel, what can we do to get the best people? I think forget the hiring part. First, do your people know how to interview a master analyst guy? And what kind of questions will you ask? And if you ask this set of questions, what answers will you get? That's what the genesis of AI-powered people analytics came into picture. And today people have moved into. So instead of getting into a typical way of questioning, please describe about yourself, about the projects you have worked, what we did was we gave him a data. We briefed him about the role. Once we came to a conclusion that the person who had came for the position understood that role and the capabilities and was very clear what was expected out of him or her, we gave him a data, 2-3 page data, and we gave him a time. So we asked him first that, you know, how much time would you take to solve this? He said, we'll take around 1 hour, 30 minutes. So we gave him a system to work on that file. We gave him a live Excel, and he went on and did it. Now, understand one thing, that person was doing it from his thought process. He was not doing it from a company's standpoint. So that was our first, you know, conscious incompetence, that he did not think from an organizational perspective, because an analyst who is coming into this has to think from an organizational perspective. The best part was the moment we said he worked on some formula and changed in 5 minutes, that gave us a understanding, okay, this guy is adaptable. If we change the data in 5 minutes, he can come back to us. Definitely, if it goes beyond the number, then we have to give him that much of time. So see, people analytics, you know, it's a prediction that we give him a situation. Today, if you go for an interview, you will be asked questions in STAR method. You will be given a situation, you will ask what task will you do, what are your actions and what results you're expecting. So it's a predictive capability building what we're looking at. And that's what AI powered is doing for. It's a tactical and a strategic asset. It is not a tool. It's a tactical and strategic asset which helps HR to automate data collection from multiple sources, organized under a suitable header that we are looking into. That provides actionable insights at scale. AI empowers HR teams to drive business results to a comprehensive talent strategy. So for example, after doing all the people in analytics and they come up with this thing, so you know, this X college, we have recruited around 150 people in last 2 years. But we have found one thing in common, that these people are not very good in communicating to stakeholders. And because it's a customer facing role, we might have to look how our people. But when we look at the other colleges' data, that, and this was manual. Imagine this. And so if I'm doing campus from 3 institutes and I'm looking at 300 people to interview to, imagine the amount of data that is being used. So use something as a people analytics tool and use it at scale. And then you come down to it by understanding, okay, this is my talent strategy. So for this level of people where communication and customer-facing role, I'll go to X college. For this, I'll go to this college. And that predictive capability or predictive analysis gives you a better result with the talent strategy part. Second is the insight that it generates. HR leaders can look into performance, L&D, hiring, internal mobility, data project mobility, availability of skills, skill gaps, skill depending, business forecast. I mean, I can go to that extent to even speak about, okay, for this project, I need a master communicating guy. I mean, this guy have to speak, and I'm not saying good English. I'm saying this guy not only have to speak in good communication, but has to present in front of the top level of the audiences, and he has to imbibe that personality. And he has might have to also use elevator speech. So all these things can be a skill. it also helps HR leaders to understand their workforce better. So what kind of people do I have in my company? One way, in the initial phase of my career, when I first went into people analytics, I was told by my CEO that, Gabriel, can you give me a data which speaks about, no, listen to this, huh? Which speaks about, one, what are the performance at all levels, at all divisions, and I need to know the top 10% of every department. Second, what are the moderate performance and what are the lowest performance? What can we do for the moderate performance and for the... So single data has multiple matrices and matrix involved in it. So in sales, okay, then what we found out that in sales, because it's a direct customer facing role and the numbers are direct, there are more top performers in sales than in operations. So the CEO said, Gabriel, can we create a leverage? I mean, can we build a bridge so that the same behavior is coming out here? Where we had to, you know, go ahead and kind of convince him that, you know, operations is not a customer facing role. So the biggest competency is communication. Here, the communication never happens. It's only on emails, or the person is maybe once in a while called to make him understand what data you have prepared. So how can you match? Imagine that plethora of data that you're looking at. So I might look at different, I might look at L&D as a different aspect in that people in analytics. So for example, I've trained 150 people in 6 months. What is the result of this training? What is the effectiveness of the training? So that's a complete different data. So under people in analytics, there might be a segment of data, master set, and then there will be subset. So for example, if you go to UBS, they hire people based on their projects and based on the project competencies. That's a completely different way of hiring. They don't hire at junior level at based on the competencies that normally good company would have had. They hire people from that subset of, okay, this project requires ABC competency, so we'll go and find those kind of people. And that's what people analytics is all about. That's why it is called tactical and strategy. It also helps HR leaders to understand their workforce better and create a strategy to increase engagement, you know, productivity and innovation. The most important thing is it reduces human bias to a large extent. To a large extent, not always, but it reduces. It can guide decisions based on massive amounts of data rather than relying on individual preferences. Okay, because we have Gabriel as the top performer, we'll follow. Is there any people who is nearby to Gabriel? And that data pattern. It also helps leaders to detect patterns that may point to a bias or non-bias. For example, a performance review or a career development decisions. There are a lot of companies, they do HIPO, which is a part of succession planning, to retain people. The question can be asked, why I need a HIPO to retain people? A career pathing would be there to retain people. A calibration would be there. You know, that's people analytics. AI writing tools can help HR team managers or employees, high quality, inconsistently, unbiased. So it's policies or job descriptions, again, the formatting, the thoughtful and appropriate phase, feedback. Yes, we are looking at mechanical, moving the human touch, but when we go for a human touch, the feedback becomes biased. The data that empowers AI algorithm and vice versa are really unbiased. So affecting the use of predictive analytics, for example, when identifying high potential employees, I gave an example right now. If the historical data contains only men getting such roles, the algorithm may be inadvertently trained to exclude women as a future leader. You know, that trigger point. So I should be non-biased when I'm writing that algorithm. I should look at the entire performance. So gender might not be a bias segment down there. It can also be used to detect bias and alert HR. That's what I said, triggering follow-ups, mitigate negative impacts, limit legal liability. HR leaders can, and other users are also aware of AI's limitation. Companies can apply thoughtfully to reduce bias in HR processes. It increases employee relationships and can identify and analyze patterns in employee data, again helping HR leaders to understand the behavior, create programs that encounter positive relationships and improve productivity. You know, ChatGPT could be used as a potential tool for organizational network analysis, analyzing in real time every single conversation happening in the organization, and email, Slack, Teams, etc. So what kind of, so for example, I will take you to around 2010 or 15. I was part of a company, and the company said, Gabriel, can we analyze? Now, this is not graphology, that the way things are written, because it's written on a system. can we analyze people's behavior from the way they write an email? So, I mean, we were new to what predictive analysis is all about, or people analytics was all about. So we did ask the question to the CEO, key, what exactly you're looking for? So he gave a beautiful example. He said, Gabriel, imagine somebody is replying back to a customer based on something. There was a follow-up, or there was something needed to be told towards them, so on and so forth. So let's say a person wrote an email, dear Mr. So-and-so, this is in regards to the complaint number so-and-so. We would like to update you that we are still working on this issue, as the issue requires a lot of other departments to come into and give their opinion. We are happy to say that we are moving on a positive side. However, the time taken might not be positive as such. Having said that, we will come back to you once we get a solution. In the meantime, if you have any things to ask, do let me know. My contact details are given below. This is one. You have listened to it. Second one. Dear so-and-so, this is to update you that the solution will take more time, as we are unable to get update from various teams. Once they update us, we'll update you. Thank you. Is there any people analytics or any people's behavior can be analyzed from it? And in those days, in 2010, I mean, we thought about somebody may not want to write a big one and that way. But today, that can be scanned. That can be used to gauge the sentiment of that person. So in customer service, the more you update and create an awareness to the customer, which are aligned to company goals, and making them aware, that will not create an alert of any unusual behavior. I mean, I'll give the best example, and I'm not going to take the name of the company. And I was doing email etiquette program for them, and I told a generic rule that you cannot write revert back. Revert itself is back. So either you can write please revert, or kindly revert with an appropriate answer, or kindly revert as soon as possible. That gentleman came up to me, opened his laptop, showed me an email from the CEO stating revert back. What will you do? So there are various kinds of people, various kind of data, various way to analyze them. It may also be used to help employees provide thoughtful and properly stated feedback to peers when requested. So see, so I had to tell that person, you know what? I cannot change everyone. So today, if you are in my training program, I can tell you which is right, which is wrong. If he ever comes to meet me, or I meet him, and if he raises that issue, I can tell that person. So you know, you must know how to use this to connecting the dot, because always human beings will come up with an excuse by saying, you are telling me this is wrong, but the top management is doing so. You know, so that's alerting HR of any unusual behavior. Strategic decision can be made using the predictive data. I've given you an example. So the potential outcome of an AI-powered analytics can be predicted by changing the input variable. So I used a simple way of saying that the first-time manager program can be done using this competency, or the hiring can be done using this competency. You have to rate them there. But what if I change this variable? Or what if I change this competency? So there is communication when I'm hiring people, and there is communication. So both as a competency when I'm hiring a manager. Does competency of communication remain the same? The answer is no. So the prediction can be done by changing the input variables, or keeping the input same, but the judgment of that input varies for the designation. And that's how the data shows that high performers are disengaging. The impact of increasing promotion or learning opportunities on metrics such as engagement and turnover can be evaluated. Managers with data-driven insights about their teams can think more strategically about improving performance. However, AI is the only tool to augment HR effort. Managers should be regular to check-ins and goal conversations to keep employees informed and engaged. You know, prioritize time and resources. HR leaders are increasingly automating routine and repetitive tasks, and we are trying to find out. I've heard these people say, Gibble, can AI do this? Can AI do that? I mean, if it is not done by AI, then what is the point in getting AI into the company? So people analytics is one thing where people would not challenge AI as of now. Because first of all, imagine the amount of data that you have to do. I mean, forget everything. If you go to a manufacturing plant, you have management employees, you have non-management employees, and the total. Okay, I'll give you the biggest employer base in India, Indian Railways. With on-roll, off-roll, vendors, and all put together, There are 10 lakh people. They have a HR, they have a regional HR, they have a district HR. And all this HR, if they're using that data for people analytics of performances, and trust me, Indian Railways has one of the, if not the best, one of the finest performance management system. If you, as a driver of a local train, or they say loco pilot, so a pilot of an express train, if you go to any station, they will see there is something called as EMU stop. And if you go, you'll find something as engine stop. Your bumper, so you see there are two bumpers in front of the railway engines, the new railway engines. That bumper has to stop within 1 millimeter of that sign. 1 millimeter. That's how they are. In Bombay Central or VT, I don't recall it right now, the driver did not understand and bumped into the bumpers of the platform. He was suspended. He was sent back to training. That's how critical they are. Now imagine if they come up with AI and they create a sensor. Have you seen the signaling system? If you take a closer look of analytics of how to prioritize time and resources, if a local train is going in Bombay, after the third bogey, the green turns to red. But if you're going through an express, the moment the engine goes, it turns to red. Somebody has written an algorithm, right? You will see there are boxes on that track which measures. So there is a sensor. That AI is the people analytics. What I'm talking about is an advanced version of that sensor. So for example, ChatGPT and other language models can help HR practitioners, manager and employees save time by automating repetitive tasks. Initially, if I remember correctly, and again from Indian Railways, there used to be a proceed signal. So in those days, when you're passing by a station, you have the small iron, you can call it a small brace or whatever it is, and you have to put it in the ring while you go out. Now it's more of a signaling system. So see, things are changing. I mean, that's what analytics is doing. It is reducing repetitive tasks. It is automating repetitive tasks. Okay, there are various segmentation that is happening. Not only that, if you go to, the best thing is autopilot in aviation. It is said by aviation experts that a pilot is only required for takeoff and landing. An autopilot has no authority on takeoff and landing. Once you're in the air at around certain height of 30,000 or 34,000 feet, it's put into autopilot. And they follow the path. So everything is defined. So what if we use the same kind of technology of analytics in HR to define everything and we just follow? It will reduce the repetitive task. It will create automation and create consistency in high quality content. It will help HR to create company policies, assist employees with defining good goals and milestones. Most importantly, career ambitions. Again, candidate assessment, there can be application tracking system for the recruiter to screen resumes, cover letters, skill matching, candidate communication. AI tools can collect data across the hiring process from initial assessments to interview response, entire chain to compare the data against industry benchmarks. I gave you an example of a college that in the hiring process from initial assessment to interview responses. So again, I was part of one of the data collection company and we were assessing colleges, which are the best colleges to go for. And at one place we found out that their initial assessment marks were beyond 90%. But when it came to briefing that or presenting that as a candidate, the score went down. In another college, their initial assessment was at par. So we were looking at 80% and above. So they were an 82, 84. The other college was a 95. So 82, 84, we said decent. But when we interviewed them, they were way apart from that college, which was scoring 95%. So imagine that data benchmarking, the historical data to project its candidate's chance of success in a role. It's amazing, immersive, and it creates the plethora of opportunities for the HR. Once again, a little bit technical, natural language processing is a branch of AI that focuses on enabling machines to understand and interpret human language. So, natural language processing is nothing but a medium between machine and human language. So, I am currently speaking this. If the laptop or the virtual assistant tool have to understand what I'm saying and create subtitles based on multiple languages, we have to use the NLP from AI. It is also used to analyze unstructured data like employee feedback, social media posts, email text, survey response to gain a deeper understanding of the employee engagement and sentiment. NLP algorithm can also be used to identify patterns and themes in large volumes of data, text data, meaningful insights, strategies and practices. Example, using NLP to identify common themes in employee feedback is essential. So how does they respond to a feedback, communication issues or target interventions or addressing these issues. It can be also utilized to analyze job description. So I can write an algorithm which have defined a job and a descriptor, and I can help the resumes to identify the most sought after skills and experience for a particular position. So it's a JD versus, so we did a project called Candidate to AI Match. So the project from Candidate to AI Match was, we had a job description, we had a resume of a candidate, we used HI to match whether the candidate was the best for that role or not, and AI response was around 80% right. And 80% is a good one, because when we checked with human benchmarks and human interventions, it was at 67%. So when I say 67%, it's like out of 10 resumes, 6.7 resumes, I have done it right. Using AI, it went to 8. Difference is 2, 1.3, but the 2 resumes might be a good footfall for me when I'm looking for the best candidate. However, NLP is not always entirely precise, and there is a possibility that it may reinforce or intensify pre-existing bias in the data. See, everything has a pros and cons, and we have to understand that also. And as an HR professional, you must be aware of what kind of predictive analysis or people analytics you are doing for. Neural networks, and in my previous chapters, I did speak about it. Now I'll speak in a bit more. Neural networks is like a function of a human brain. Now, human brain functions in three simple categories. I'm not getting into an anatomic side of it, but your main brain works in, you know, analysis, synthesis, imaginative. So first it analyzes, then it synthesizes, and then it creates an imaginative field or some prediction. So neural networks of AI works in the same composed framework where layers of interconnected nodes are there. So if I can put it in this way, so if you can look at my hands, so this is the main neural network, and there are branches according to it, subset of that neural network. And every branches might have a sub branch to it, which is in according to the master data. And it can be used for a variety of applications such as image recognition, speech recognition, or natural language processing. And I mean, there are ample use of it. Beyond NLP, there is something called as deep learning. Deep learning is a subset of neural networks that involves training models on large amount of data. Now, imagine I said this is the main neural network, and then you have side branches with it. And see, one of the branches is LND, and in one of the LND branches, the subset of it, it gets into a deeper aspect of people analysis. Now, this people analytics has to come back to this main master data. So this data is huge. So I have broken into branches. Deep learning algorithms are capable of processing and analyzing large and complex databases, making them ideal for applications such as image and speech recognition. So if you see in a movie, you know, the moment that somebody looks at a camera and on that laptop, the image processing starts with a bigger database. So the bigger database is the neural network. And from the neural network, the branches that I'm scanning, whether he has any prehistoric cases of criminal or civil or whatever it is from the image recognition. Speech recognition also gives a thought process of how this can be dealt with. Deep learning is also key technology behind many AI applicants, including self-driving cars, voice assistants. You know, one of the things you can say, Siri is one of the examples of deep learning. I mean, initially when Apple launched Siri, it was only with an American voice. Today it has Indian, American, Australian, UK, and I have forgotten. So US, India, Australian, UK, these four are there. And the UK guy speaks like a UK guy. as a Siri, the voice assistant, the Australian voice assistant speaks in the Australian accent. Now, that's speech recognition. An Australian person might be speaking English in a very different way than the UK guy and then the US guy and the Indian guy. So now they are coming into that branch. So they're using deep learning as a key technology for that speech recognition. And it is helping them, particularly from an unstructured data. Imagine today there are billions of people using Apple phones. Everybody's accent is different. Now comes the predictive analysis. So again, it's particularly valuable in people analytics because it allows HR to identify patterns, trends, experiences. It helps you to make decisions about hiring, training, retention, and more. The future is huge. I mean, I have worked in predictive analytics and it is painful. It is painful. The process is so manual that after a certain point of time, if you close your eyes, you'll see data. And the operative way is very. They will need more sophisticated tools to help them make sense of the data and drive business outcomes. Imagine those days when MIS guy has to understand an entire plethora of data and then send a final report of that data. Even MIS people today face a challenge to put the entire data in one single slide. Imagine what AI could do. In one of the examples, I can see that high-performing employees by analyzing data in employee performance as well as the factors, tenure, education, and experience. Cloud computing, because you're using huge data, you have to store large data. Where will you store? You cannot buy servers all the time. So cloud computing becoming one of the access to analytical tools. Even today, cloud computing is coming with applications from anywhere with an internet connection. Imagine the amount of data. Yes, data privacy and security is getting more stronger as we speak. But yes, the day would come when everything could be secure. And again, the hacking may happen. So ethical and unethical practices are also there. Cloud-based HR software solutions are also being used to manage various HR functions such as recruitment, onboarding, performance management. I know few organizations who are completely using cloud-based HR software. They're not any success factors or anything like that. But it is important for an organization to understand that they appreciate or appropriate data security and privacy measures. I will repeat that line again and again, because regulation, two things. There was an important case in Federal Court of USA where a person with a criminal intent had some problems and had an iPhone. So there were certain evidences in that iPhone and the federal court went to Apple for opening up. Apple said, we should have a court rule to the person. If the person says yes, we'll open up the phone for you. Person said no, they did not open the phone. So pros and cons. Data security, if you have, for certain levels, you cannot do anything with that. For certain levels, it can be gone.